She has a PhD MPH and is an assistant professor of health policy and public health at the University of Sciences in Philadelphia. She conducts public health systems and services research and teaches public health policy and management, social and behavioral foundations, and disparities. Dr. Klayman has worked in the areas of emergency preparedness and response, clinical health, registries, and maternal and child health. So I'm Dr. Klayman. Good morning. Oh, there are quite a few more people here. Fantastic. I'm going to talk about actually sort of the flip side of what you were just talking about and what the impact is on local health departments and how they're dealing with a lot of the issues, financial issues that they've been confronted with over the past few years. So this project is learning from positive outlier local health departments in maternal and child health. I don't have any relationships to disclose because I work in public health. This project was funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation Public Health Services and Systems Mentored Research Award. So the objective of this project is to identify and learn from local health departments in Washington State that perform better than expected in maternal and child health outcomes compared to peers. And what's important to keep in mind is, first of all, we're looking at communities that have achieved better outcomes than peer communities. So health departments are, of course, part of that, and it's an easy metric, but we do recognize that they're part of a larger community, and so our interest is in what are health departments doing in, as part of this larger context. We're also including Florida and New York as well, but those data are not analyzed yet, so I focused here on Washington State. But if you're interested, I'd be happy to talk to you after to follow up about those states as well. So the Washington State Public Health System includes 35 county health departments. It's a decentralized system, which means each county health department is its own entity and not a ward of the state, for lack of a better term. The State Board of Health does oversee local health departments and offers guidance and some funding. The local health officer is the representative from each of the government agencies, i.e. the local health departments, and funding comes from state health departments to the locals. And this slide is a little bit misleading because it's theoretically based on population. The state says it's based on population, but it's actually based on a formula that is somewhat convoluted. So take that with a grain of salt. So we used a positive deviance framework, which sounds much more smutty than it is. Positive deviance is basically an opportunity to identify and learn from units that perform beyond expectations. We define this by context, so taking into account the environment, the kind of population a health department is working in, what kind of funding levels they have. And the goal of positive deviance is ultimately for performance improvement, so improving the services or resources or practices at the local health department level in our case. So this is a four-step method. The first is to identify positive deviance. I'll talk briefly about that. If you have more, if you're interested in the details of that, I can talk to you more about that later. I just don't have time to cover it today. I'm going to focus today on step two, which is using in-depth qualitative methods to generate hypotheses about why some health departments are positively deviant. Step three is to test those hypotheses in a larger sample, and step four is to disseminate best practices. Step three and four are, we're not covering those in this project, hopefully with additional funding, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, if anybody has money. We're going to do that in the next phase of our research. So we use what's called a realist evaluation framework to identify our local health departments that are positive deviants. And basically the idea here is that you have to take into account local context, which triggers specific mechanisms, which leads to certain outcomes. So you can see these four outcomes listed here, and an example of this might be that a small local health department in a rural community may have high teen birth rates. And because it's in a rural, maybe conservative community, has a hard time getting into the schools. So it partners with a community health worker that has a strong relationship with the schools, which is the mechanism, to go in and talk about teen pregnancy in a socially acceptable way in that community. So we can't compare, in order to compare apples to apples, we have to take into account these contextual factors. What kind of environment does the local health department sit in? And then that context triggers mechanisms like partnerships or coalition building, and that leads to specific outcomes. We use a two-step process. So first we use quantitative analysis to identify positive deviance, and then we conducted in-depth interviews. We did use Batman and Robin, which is really helpful. for the I'm going to go through the quantitative piece quickly because that's not really the focus of this this presentation, but please feel free to talk to me after if you have questions about this. We included all 35 local health departments. We used the Public Health Activities and Services Tracking Database, which is housed at the University of Washington. It's a uniquely detailed, it includes uniquely detailed and matched annual maternal and child health related county level expenditure data, and then links it to services data and outcome data from other data sources. We used multiple regression analysis to identify positive deviance. First, we included factors over which local health departments do not have control. So these are the environmental factors I spoke about a few minutes ago, the context. That includes population size, geography, and arguably the size of their budgets, because most local health departments have limited control over their budgets. Then we included variables over which local health department leaders have some control. So these include things like having a clinician as a top executive, you can choose who you hire, the types of services that are provided, which a lot of times is under local control, and then things like assuring alternate providers in the community. And then finally, we had four outcomes that we looked at. We looked at teen birth, late or no prenatal care, infant mortality, and the percent of low birth weight. So this just shows you the equations for the regressions, and this was published in Frontiers in Public Health Systems and Services Research for if you want more information. So what we found was that there were, by context, about an equal number of positive deviants in Washington State by the kind of community. So rural communities, about 27% were positive deviants, micro, 27%, and metro, 31%, and that's by population size. So this is the, as far as I'm concerned, the more interesting part. We conducted semi-structured interviews with local health department staff, and you can see here a list of the kinds of people we spoke to. We allowed local health departments to identify who would be the most appropriate person to speak with within their health department, and then we worked with that person. The interview protocol was divided by assessment and policy development, research and evaluation, and regulatory oversight, and we decided on organizing the interview protocol that way based on some work that Glenn Mays has done before about the characteristics of local health department services. We contacted 10 positive deviants. 7 of them completed interviews. They were conducted between April and October, which was a very long time, but Ebola sort of put a delay on our interviews because many health department directors who were thrilled to talk to us then suddenly had to push everything off their plate to deal with Ebola. And we're still sort of dealing with that in New York and Florida. 2 declined to participate for various reasons, one of which was that they no longer provide MCH services. The data we used were from 2009 and 2010, and the impact of the 08 financial crisis really didn't hit local health departments until around 2010. So they had to cut most of those services at that health department and declined to participate. And then we still have one interview pending. So what we found was that there were a few things that were common among all positive deviant local health departments. The first one, not surprisingly, was partnerships. And these included things like community partnerships, school partnerships, and internal partnerships within the health department. So here's an example of the context plus mechanism equals outcome story. In this example, it was a micro community that had low immunization rates. They partnered with primary care physicians throughout the community, and that led to increased immunization rates among children. Here's another example. In a rural local health department, they partnered with community agencies, and that led to increased community resilience. The next lesson we learned was having clearly defined goals was common across all positive deviant local health departments. So their goals might be direct service goals. So we want to reach X number of new moms in our community. We want to make sure that we're offering direct services to our community members. In other communities, the health department really pulled back from direct services and focused on population-based services. A lot of that was based on diminished resources, where they may have had prenatal care clinics 5 years ago and had to do away with them because of funding cuts. So they've pulled back and really created more of they've served more of an administrative function, connecting people to services within the community. In all cases, they used evidence to identify their goals. So in many cases, it was their community health assessment, community health improvement process, or in some cases their hospital community health needs assessment process in those counties where the health department, where there's a hospital in the same county as the health department, which is not the case in every county. So here are some examples of those CMO stories. Here we have a metropolitan local health department with limited resources, reduced resources. They shifted to population-based services, and they found improved community health outcomes. You can see the quote there. So some of the challenges, which are, I think, probably not going to be very surprising to anybody in this room, but I think are important to point out that we found. The first issue is funding. Almost all the local health departments we spoke to have been impacted by funding reductions, which piggybacks right on the previous presentation very clearly. And so this example here, this quote, shows that in many health departments, they've really had to focus on the biggest bang for the buck. And some health departments have shifted from personal direct services like home visitation to these larger population-based services. And they've had to do that because of the external circumstances over which they have limited control. The other challenge has been staff turnover, again, which links obviously clearly back to funding. Many local health departments have not been able to give staff raises in some time. They've had to cut staff, or staff have left. But what was promising about that was many of the health departments we spoke to had staff who left and then came back because they cared so much about the work that they were doing and felt that they had such a big impact on the community. So some of the implications for local public health, the first is to focus on establishing partnerships. Local health departments can offer technical expertise in many cases. They can offer data analysis support in many cases, and often administrative support. Local health departments know what services are available in the community and really have a great opportunity to connect people to those services, almost be a clearinghouse to the community. Also focusing on data-driven activities, prioritizing, setting community priorities based on data, based on the information that the data that are collected about health outcomes, and also pulling back a little bit and focusing on population-based services where it makes sense to do so. So some of the next steps of our project are to complete the interviews in Florida and New York, which we are undergoing now. We also want to interview some of the negative deviants. I don't really like to use that term, but maybe some of those health departments that have experienced less positive outcomes, to see if maybe there are practices that they could be doing that they're not doing that some of these positive deviants are doing. The goal of our work is really to focus on the positive, not on calling people out about what they're doing wrong. That I have no interest in doing that, but allowing health departments to learn from each other about practices that they may not be aware of. And then eventually we'd like to, again, with more funding, we want to test some of these theories quantitatively. And some of this is a challenge because partnership it's hard to measure quantitatively. And it varies from community to community. If you're in a rural community, your next door neighbor may also be the head of Head Start in your, and so you know that Jane is the head of Head Start. If you're in New York City, you may have no idea who the head of Head Start is because they're not your neighbor. So measuring those partnerships can be sometimes challenging depending on the context. So in conclusion, I just want to thank the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation for their generous funding of this project, research assistants Anjali Chinani, who's here today, and Athena Pantazis, who couldn't be here, the interviewees, of course, without whom we couldn't have done this project, and then our advisory council, which who have been tremendously helpful. Some of you may know Joanne, who's the head of the Maternity Care Coalition and very involved in the MCH section, and she's been a tremendous help. So I guess we'll wait on questions.